Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Welcome back to the Femi Pod for episode 121. It is great to be here. I have had a very busy week, which we shall get into. But before we do so, Est, my bestie, is always here with me. How are you today?
Liz, yeah, going well, thank you. How are you going?
Good, thank you. How's your week been?
Week's been good. I had a bit of a hectic time actually with my partner. He got an infection in his leg, which ended up having to be surgically cleaned out and stuff, so that was a bit scary. For anyone listening, you may know his, if you've been a long time listener, you will know how much he's battled with health and how frustrating it's been for both of us. So yeah, just feel sorry for him. But yeah, aside from that, had a good weekend. I was in Tauranga before I had to go back to be with Varen. And then had a friend's wedding, which was really nice. But it also meant that I missed After Dark Tour, which looked so sick. I couldn't look too much because I just got sad because I wanted to be there. But I was like looking at all the photos and videos. It looked so cool. Yeah, I'd love to hear how it was, Liz. How was the tour?
Yeah, it was so incredible. I definitely don't want to rub it in your face because we did see you there, but it was such an amazing event. Just for those who don't know, the Nike After Dark Tour is a race series for women that is going all over the world, and we were the first in the world to kick it off here in Sydney. We had over 7,000 women come out and run 21Ks from Rozelle Park, I'm pretty sure it was, in Sydney, all the way through to Tumbalong Park. So you're running point to point, which I personally love races from point to point because it just feels, I don't know, shorter or more achievable or something, maybe just more exciting. And it was just so epic. Like the energy amongst the women was so incredible. It was like, honestly, I guess we get to see every Friday when we go to our physical Femi run communities and see the support women have for each other, but to kind of amplify that with 7,000 women and see how much everyone just got behind each other. There was like no competition amongst one another. It was very much like, I'm here to help you get to your goal and get to that finish line as best as possible. And like, it was just really beautiful. I was so grateful to be part of the event. Obviously, as the Nike Run coach, I got to be on the journey with all the women in the lead up to the event, and to see that excitement and that build up and how much work everyone put in to get there was incredible. And then on race day, I got to just like be out there with the community and get to celebrate them as well. I think I spent about 8 hours on the mic, which was so fun. Just pumping everyone up and like congratulating everyone at the finish line. I think race finish lines are one of the most special places in the world to see like human interaction and that real like pride that people gain from hard work and doing something that they did, and to see these women get across the finish line. I want to say like 80% of them ran across the finish line with their arms up, just the biggest smile on their face, and was so, it was like a sense of relief as well as of a sense of pride all at once. They made it, they did it, and they were so proud of themselves, and I was so proud of them and so proud of each other. Yeah, it was really beautiful. And then we got across the finish line and there were many surprises for the women. One of them was, instead of getting a finisher medal, everyone got a finisher necklace or a necklace, and it was a Nike swoosh lace that was a necklace that people can take home and kind of wear forever, which is so cool. And like, of course, Nike's gonna do something incredible like that. And then all the women were surprised because Georgia Smith flew into Aussie for 48 hours to perform for all the finishers and their loved ones. So it was really epic to have like a real music festival vibe alongside a running event. Just so incredible. So yeah, it was epic. And that was really just like the start of it, which is incredible. After Dark Tour, it is going all around the world. It's now going to Mumbai, Shanghai, Seoul, and then to LA and Mexico. And I'm going to be racing in LA and in Mexico in June. So I'm like so pumped. I was watching all the women run on the weekend and I was like, oh, I can't wait to like be out there myself and be part of it. So yeah, it's pretty exciting times for women runners.
That's so cool. Yeah, it looked unreal. Just the energy and running at night. Like, I think that's just like taking power back for women, because like quite often running at night would be quite scary, if you, especially if you're by yourself. So like to do it knowing you're like surrounded by like thousands of women and like in this incredible atmosphere. Yeah, it was so cool. Even just to see the photos and the videos and stuff, like I could feel the energy through it all. So I can't imagine what it would have been like to be the ultimate hype gal as well.
I was loving it. I'm surprised I still have a voice, to be honest. Yeah. But I think the dark thing was really cool, because the race started at 4:30 and the sun was still up. It was like still pretty much daytime. And then, you know, by the time the majority of the women were finishing, it was dark. So I don't know, I'm such a morning runner, so I'm used to like starting in the dark and then finishing in the daytime and watching the sunrise. But doing it the other way around was like really special. I think running into the night is like something that, yeah, like you said, a lot of women don't get to experience that often. And taking that back and taking ownership of that time of the day was like really cool.
That's so cool. Yeah. Yeah, I wondered about the 4:30 start, because when does the sun go down in Sydney?
I think it's about 5:30 now.
Oh, yeah. That's early. Man, that's earlier than New Zealand.
Yeah, well, I think because of daylight savings ending, and yeah, it does. We've been doing community runs in the evenings from the Nike George Street store. And when we first were doing them, it was like beautiful sunset. We would run out to the Harbour Bridge and watch the sunset. And then the last couple, it was like pitch black. We'd start running at about 6:30. So it was definitely much nicer when the sun was setting. But I mean, running in the dark, there's always a vibe about it, particularly running through the city when there's like so many people and it's like hustling and bustling. And yeah, it was cool. Do you know what I found really cool on Saturday night was the amount of like allies and men that came out to support the women. There were so many guys and people around just like cheering the team on and like lots of signs, and being at the finish line, I really got to like soak up the atmosphere of support and like the family and friends being there. Like how incredible that these people were so proud of their loved ones doing the race. Like I think I've never spent that long really at the finish line. I was there probably for about 3 or 4 hours, and yeah, it's not just like a bypass of someone cheering. I was there for hours hearing these people like getting so excited that their friend or partner or whoever it might have been was coming up the finishing chute, and they're just like screaming at them, and then I'd like get them on the mic to tell us about their story. And it's just really special. Like you kind of forget, running is such a solo sport and it feels like an individual sport so much of the time. You kind of forget like you have all these people around you that are so proud of your achievements as well, no matter what level of runner you are. So being able to experience that was really beautiful. And like some of the mums coming across the finish line and seeing their kids there, and that was just like really, yeah, quite moving.
Yeah. Ears were shed. Always, I remember the Melbourne Marathon whenever I was lucky enough to go down to the finish line. Yeah, I would cry because it was just so cute. Everyone's so cute and try so hard, and like everyone's just like supporting each other. It's good vibes.
Such good vibes.
Oh, and then how's your running going? Still update on the running.
Training's going well. Yes, I am set to run the Ballarat half marathon next weekend. So I'm looking forward to that. I have, had a bit of a chaotic few months, as most peeps would know, but I am feeling pretty good at the moment. I had a really good session this week, my speed session. I did mile reps, which is probably one of the tougher sessions in the build up for the half. And I felt really strong. So yeah, I think considering I've had such a chaotic weekend as well and so much going on and not a huge amount of sleep, it was really nice to like go out and hit my times and actually run slightly faster than what I was expecting. That's really a nice confidence boost leading into a race. So I always I try not to get too caught up in my performance and training in the weeks leading into the race, because it can either go really well or not so well. And if it doesn't go well, then it can really affect your confidence. And like we always say, confidence is the most important thing going into a race. And so yeah, I try not to get too caught up in it, but when it does go good, it's hard to not get excited about the race and what you think is capable, what I think I'm capable of. So yeah, it's kind of, I'm going into taper now and I haven't raced in a long time, and I'm really excited to like make the most of this taper. I feel like I've been training for like 12 months consistently without like a proper like taper or training block finish line. So it's going to be really fun. Ballarat's meant to be quite a flat and fast course, and I know there'll be some like incredible elites racing. So it's kind of nice having those women around, because it takes the pressure off me, where I don't have to go into the race thinking, oh, I'm going to try and win it or like get a placing. I can literally just go there and run my own race and like do what I believe I'm capable of without having to think about anyone else. So yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm really excited. I had a, yeah, la the last couple of weeks training has been going well, which is nice.
Good sign. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Est? How's your training going?
Yeah, my training is good. I had a little bit of a flare up with my Achilles. So like about a week or so ago, I could just notice it a little bit more when I was running. And then yeah, I was kind of like, maybe I need to get on top of this quickly. So I messaged Queen Grace as always, and she just reminded me that like it's still healing. And I think I got a little excited because I started to feel really good and was running up some really big hills. So anyone who's been to Raglan will know that like there's a bit of flat in the town center, but then aside from that, it's like basically just monster hills everywhere. And I love running hills, so I was running like 3K hills and stuff. And then I think it was a bit too much too soon. So alongside that, I'd also started like plyometrics in the gym and stuff. So I think the combo of that flared it a bit. So remove the hills again, and then Grace just said to have a deload week, because I've kind of, I don't know, every week I've just gone up a few more Ks, a few more Ks, a few more Ks. It hasn't really been like, let's have a week where you actually pull back, let your body rest, and then go again. And it just turns out that I'm day 23, so my deload week is my late luteal phase, which is perfect, because that's when I would want to do it anyway. So yeah, I'm running 30% kind of less than normal. I'm not doing speed work, and I'm running on the flat this week, and remove the plyos for now, and it's already feeling better. So yeah, I feel like it's just a little hiccup. It's nothing serious, which is really good. But yeah, like when I was running those hills and like running before I took this deload week, I felt really good and it made me excited. I was like, yeah, running quite fast, but not feeling, it wasn't feeling hard, even running up those hills. So yeah, positive moments for sure. But I don't feel worried about my Achilles. I feel like it's already calming down. So yeah, I acted quickly, which I'm happy about, and everything seems good. So yeah, I need to figure out what I'm up to in terms of maybe target something end of the year. But honestly, I'm just trying to get back into running. So no pressure race-wise or anything from me. But yeah, that's an update from me. So deload week this week, and then hopefully next week be back into it.
So good. I think the patience is definitely going to pay off, and I think it's so inspiring to see how patient you have become and how like smart you've become as well. And I think I've been thinking a lot about training recently in a way that like at FEMI we really try to encourage this approach to training that's obviously built for women and is built for sustainability and consistency over time, because we know that's where true progress in running comes from. But some might look at the way that we train and think that it's like relatively easy or isn't as hard as maybe some people would expect when it comes to getting better as a runner. When we program, most of our programs really only consist of like one speed session, one long run, and a steady run a week, like three key runs where you're somewhat pushing it, but not like racing training. And then the rest of the running, we try to encourage like pretty easy jogging, slow, easy paced running. And yeah, I've been thinking about how some people would look at our training and maybe think that it's like quite soft and quite easy. But in actual fact, it's all about just really smart training and like looking at sustainability over time versus like this short-term success or short-term satisfaction and pushing yourself to the absolute breaking point every day or every few days or whatnot. And I mean, your journey's been really inspiring is because you've been able to like just be so patient with your body and so smart with your training. And now you're getting back to this like really consistent training. And I know in another like 6 to 12 months, you're going to be so grateful for taking it so slow and being so smart about it and just doing what is right for your body. And I think like so many people can learn from the journey that you've been on and really just take this approach of like, what can I do today, tomorrow, this week, this month that's going to make me a better athlete and a better runner in another 12 months versus just like, I just want to try and get to this half marathon start line in 4 weeks and I'm going to cram in as much as I can to kind of do it and just go and like push myself on every single run to get there. I mean, we're both so passionate and at FEMI, we're so passionate about like sustainability in sport, not just because we want women to be better runners, but because we know how movement is so beneficial for females and our minds and our bodies and, you know, our long-term health. But also when it comes to success in sport and running, like it takes time and there's no point trying to rush it. And we really have to focus on that kind of long-term gratification to find success versus like these short-term hits and training to try get better just for, you know, today or tomorrow.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, that was really what like got me over the line in terms of like finally addressing my Achilles. Like I definitely pushed it for too long, which old me would have recovered with the things that I did. I did heaps of rehab stuff. I did pull back training, but like it just wasn't enough to get rid of the pain when I was running. And I think I got to the point where finally I was like, I could do damage here where like I couldn't run when I'm 40 or 45 anymore because I pushed through an injury so much that it could ruin like the rest of my running journey. So that was really the deciding factor for me, was like, I want to run when I'm 50. So what can I do now to like run when I'm 50? So like, I guess, yeah, that is literally the epitome of kind of what FEMI thinks, maybe even longer term than what FEMI is thinking. But like, yeah, I just didn't want to push through an injury, make it worse, do long-term damage, and then not be able to run as I get, you know, get older. But I think, like, I still feel it is really hard, you know, like even last week when it was starting to get sore, like maybe I shouldn't have done the speed session and maybe I shouldn't have run up the 3K hill on Thursday, but I had set my sights on it at the beginning of the week. I was like, yeah, I'm going to run up. It's called Tahutiwai Road. And I was like, I've biked up that so many times while I've been injured. One time I biked up and down it four times. So I was like, it's 3K hill. But I was just like, nah, I'm going to do it because I really want to do it. So I still muck up, you know, like I still do stuff that maybe I shouldn't have done that. And then maybe I wouldn't have flared it as much. So there's still like, it still is really hard, like finding that balance of like, listening to your body enough and doing what's right for you long term so that you can, you know, be consistent in your training and not have to, you know, I should, in saying all this, like I should have a deload week right now. So it's worked really well for me and it's worked in my favor. But like, I could have pushed it too far and then had to actually pull back, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks. So it's still a fine balance, eh, of like, I guess having that patience acting at the right point while still being able to like train consistently. So yeah, it's a journey, that's for sure. But I think a lot of people struggle with like what they do exercise for, and like smashing their bodies and that feeling after is what they crave. And I think, but then they still, a lot of them still want the result alongside that. So it's kind of like you need to sit down with yourself and think about like, what do you actually want out of running? Like, do you want to become a better runner? Because smashing yourself every day is not going to get you there. Even though it might feel nice and it might feel good because you get that release, but structured and periodized training and consistent training showing up week on week is actually how you get better. It's not just punishing your body every day, even if it makes your mental health feel good.
Oh my gosh, it's so true. Yes, like definitely figuring out why you're doing this. And I think even saying results, like what are results to you? I believe we've grown up in this world where our relationship to exercise has always been built around our appearance and the way that we look. And so a lot of people think that results when it comes to exercise is like losing weight or getting a six-pack or whatever it might be. When in actual fact, like running is so much more than our appearance. So if you can actually take a step into the sport of running that is positive around like, I just want to be a better runner or feel stronger when I run up hills or make it to a 21K race, then your entire mindset will shift and your approach will change based on your why. And so I think that's such a good point, Est. Like, to get better at running, it isn't about running as fast as you can every single day for 2 weeks straight. Like, that is not going to actually make you a better runner in the long term. Like, long term, you have to just take these small steps, whether it's doing your easy runs or doing your stretching or going to the gym or getting your K's in and doing a speed session once a week. Like, those are kind of all the little 1%ers that add up. And over years and years and years of doing that, you're going to see huge progress in your running performance and your times and your distances that you can run. But yeah, like shifting your narrative from being I exercise to change my appearance to I exercise because it makes me feel good and it makes me perform better, then I think it really helps change that mindset. I think what also we all struggle with in this day and age is having patience and focusing on long-term gratification over short-term gratification. Like, I think we're always chasing the next hit or what's going to like give us those endorphins or what's going to make us feel good, whether it's like posting a post on Instagram and getting likes or doing a hit session every day to spike your heart rate and walk away with the endorphin hit. We are living in a world of constant short-term gratification, and we kind of struggle to focus on where we could be in, say, another 6 or 12 months or even 2 or 3 years. And I think that's what running can really teach us, is starting to instill those values of like, what will help me be a better me in a few years versus like make me feel good in the moment.
Yeah, that's so true. It's so easy to get sucked into that. I honestly think everyone should plant a garden, because that is where you see like delayed gratification, you know, like, because you look at this thing and like nothing's there for so long and you're like, oh, that's so frustrating. And like, we have an eggplant, we planted eggplants, and for so long it was flowering and nothing was growing. It was flowering, nothing was growing. I was like, man, what is it doing? It's chilling out, you know, like, come on. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, months down the track, there's like 5 eggplants on this tiny little plant and it's so cute. And I'm like, it teaches you, like, that has taught me, like, it's all underground for so long, or it's like all happening in this little plant. You can't see any of it. And then suddenly it all emerges and it's like all that hard work, all that patience that we had, and, you know, the plant was doing its thing. And then suddenly it's got all these like eggplants on it. So honestly, that has really like blown my mind, and like watching plants grow and yeah, how hard they're like working behind the scenes and doing all these things. Like, it's such a good metaphor for running training as well. Like, what can you do now that maybe doesn't spike your heart rate and give you the endorphin rush like we were talking about before, but it makes you more mobile and less susceptible to injury, you know, like doing some stretching or doing mobility, like stuff like that, that I'm sure many of us don't do enough of, but like the benefits down the line are massive. It just is really hard in the moment to think, how could like these little things actually help me get to this point? But they all do have an impact, and they all, you know, it's you working behind the scenes, similar to that plant thing again. You're working behind the scenes on these little things. No one sees them. They're not glorious. They're not beautiful. They're not like super fun. You're not super sweaty, but like they have a huge impact on like your performance down the line. And I think part of the reason that we love this stuff, like you said before, is like, yeah, social media and like, you know, certain platforms where you are worried about what other people think, and it's out there in terms of what you've just done. And so it makes you want to do things that aren't right for you. Or it's like, if you push hard every day, you can get that gratification, right? Because you might put it on Strava or you might put it on social media, but you're just doing that for other people. You're not actually doing that for your performance long-term. So I think like looking inward and seeing, do these things actually serve me and my goals? And if they don't, like stepping away from them, I think is really important. And like, yeah, you don't have to post your training anywhere. You can just do it for you and, you know, have those long-term goals and tick the boxes to get there rather than trying to get that instant gratification like you were saying, Liz.
Yeah, and I think if you do that, you will also learn to love the pursuit of just doing it. I think about all the training that I've done over the last few years. I've only raced a couple of times. You know, I haven't actually been able to go out and prove, in quotation marks, prove myself as a runner very often over the last few years, but I've still got up every single day and gone and done the training purely because I love it and it makes me feel really good. And now I can actually go and do a race, and I've like put in so much work over the last, like my last race was nearly a year ago, and I've done all this work over the last year to get to this point where I'm like so excited to race, see what I'm capable of, see where I'm at. And if it goes well, epic. And if it doesn't, I'm not going to regret all of the work and the training that I've done, because I've genuinely just like loved it, and I haven't done it to get kudos, and I haven't done it for anyone else but myself, sorry to say. But it's all about just making myself feel good, and I feel like that is also, yeah, I think the pressure comes with that, you know. I think I can think back on the last 12 months of training and I'm like, holy shit, I've done a lot of work to get to this point of now racing, and I feel there's like an internal pressure. I know there's probably external pressures, but I can't control them and I don't really care about it. But I'm like, internally, I've done so much work to get here and I want to do well. But at the end of the day, I'm also just like, I just love running and I'm stoked to be able to be here. And I know there's going to be plenty more races to come, and I am always focused on that delayed gratification of like getting to a finish line in a few years. So yes, I love the analogy of the garden. I should one day plant a garden as well.
I feel like you're not in one place long enough at the moment. But yeah, I was thinking when you were like, over the last 12 months, in my head I was like, Lydia has been growing her eggplants
for
the last 12 months and she's ready to cook them up.
I thought you were gonna say eggs, because I've probably been growing them as well.
True. Yes, you have. Yeah.
Not to any great use right now, but one day.
yeah. And with that pressure thing, like, yeah, pressure is like totally normal, and like putting pressure on yourself. But yeah, we've done heaps of chats about that, and like whether it's this one or the next one, you know, you've got LA, you've got Mexico, you've got many other races going to come this year. So whatever you do now, it's just one step that's proving what you've done over the last 12 months.
Yeah. Yes. And in the famous words of Queen Philly Bowden, love the grind. I just love the grind.
Love the grind.
All right, well, that is it from us today. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. If you want to get in touch with us, you can reach out to us on Instagram at femi.co. For those who are running Ballarat Marathon next weekend, we are going to be having a shakeout run in Melbourne on the 25th of April, so stay tuned on our Instagram for the details of that run. But in the meantime, I hope the training is going well. I hope the recovering from races is going well. And we will be back with you all next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.